Each week we talk with the network analyst who will be covering the Browns game, and this week it is Steve Tasker from CBS who will have the Browns-Jaguars call. And first of all, Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's good to talk to you, Vic.
And it's great to talk with you, and we go way back to your days with the Bills, and you've been doing this analyst thing for CBS for a while, and I know you've been assigned to your share of Browns games during the time you've been with CBS, but this is your first look at them in person this season, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I haven't done them yet. I've seen all their games on the TV broadcast, that kind of thing, but it's first time in person.
All right, so let's start with that. They're 3-6, and certainly a lot of questions about what they've got going or not going for themselves. What are some of the things that jump out at you that maybe tell you the story about this 3-6 season?
Well, I mean, they just play a little bit too inconsistently offensively. I think Colt's still trying to figure out this new offense. They got a new coaching staff, and this kind of stuff takes time. The injuries to Hillis and Hardesty have not helped them at all. Trying to overcome that stuff, and then you get a thing like a bobbled field goal in late last week's game, and you're 3-6 instead of 4-5 or even better if those guys stay healthy. So a lot of things conspire, as they always do when you have a rough season, to make it look worse than it really is.
And you would, I know, look at every bit of football through the prism of a special teams ace that you were, and one of the all-time greatest in the history of the game. And I imagine, what do you do when you see something like that, when you see a play like happen that decided that Rams game? Do you cringe a little bit? And then what are your technical thoughts as you look at it?
Well, the snap was bad, no question. But actually, I thought Maynard got it down pretty good, the hold was still kind of on time. The laces were wrong, but it was a chip shot field goal, and there's no question. I mean, it got in Dawson's head, and he couldn't follow through. His plant foot was all wrong, and he hooked it over the top and never had a chance. That's too bad, too, because the holder did a fantastic job getting it down.
What's the psyche when something like that happens, Steve? What can happen to a team that now maybe starts to feel that when you've got an opportunity to win a game and you're struggling as it is against some very good teams like they did against Houston and San Francisco and so on, but when you have an opportunity like that and then something unforeseen and really unthinkable happens?
Well, you got to remember, you got to stay in the moment. You can't worry about the big picture. You have to stay right where you're at, and what's gone is done, and what's coming up, you got to make sure it rolls your way. That's really the bottom line. There's you can't go back and change the cards. You just got to go forward, and you got to do what you can to learn from it and understand what could have made you better in those situations and make sure you've got that on your side the next time. And that's basically it. You can't let the 3-6 start you've got, or this 3-6 first half that you have, define who you are. You got to go on from there.
And for a lot of people, of course, who want to see more excitement from offense, and who can blame them? I mean, that's what this is about. That's what you want to pay to see. It has been frustrating, certainly, to watch the Browns play. The Seattle game was a field goal fest. This one, a field goal fest last week. And maybe the likelihood or the thought that Jacksonville, another team that is challenged offensively with scoring, that it could be a similar type thing. But as a guy who again was part of some highly successful teams, some AFC championship teams that really depended heavily on special teams, there were some games where it wasn't Jim Kelly lighting it up with for the Bills, lighting it up with Andre Reed and James Lofton and so forth. It was a lot of there were some of those games that just came down to Steve Christie or Scott Norwood or whatever making field goals, because that was how you played it. I mean, that's not the worst thing in the world if you can win games that way.
Well, no, it's not, and you got to know that there are a lot of teams in the league that don't win many games at all, but they have a lot of games against teams who lose them. So it's much more common for teams to lose games in this league than it is for teams to win them. I mean, like the Cleveland Browns lost that game last week. The Rams didn't win it. I mean, the Browns lost it, if you look at it that way. And that's kind of the mentality you have to have. And if you can play solid football, mistake-free football, more often than not, the other team will find a way to lose it for you. And the Browns have to stop being one of those teams. When you play the game close to the vest, when you don't turn it over, I mean, you got, you know, Josh Cribbs coughed one up last week. You never see that, you know, that kind of thing. So you got to be a team that doesn't ever do that, or at least does it less than your opponent does it. You got to be a team that pounces on those footballs when the other team does it, rather than is late to the ball when you have a chance to save one of those. And you know, it's a mentality and it's a belief at its basic core, but it also comes from every guy minding the details of his own position, not just knowing where to go and what to do, but knowing why you're supposed to go there and what you're supposed to do when you get there and how it fits into the big scheme. And when you know a wider range and a wider scope of your role in a bigger picture, it allows you to gamble once in a while when there's no risk on the other side. That's why you see great players like Troy Polamalu and Ed Reed. You see great quarterbacks like Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Peyton Manning. They know they can roll the dice in certain situations where if the worst thing that could happen would be an incomplete pass or a failed third down attempt. It's not a touchdown going the other way. That's where the depth of knowledge in your own offense and your own defense and your roles in it is at its best, is when you have that depth of knowledge. You know that you just stay away from the enormous mistake all the time.
That's such a great point. Steve Tasker joining us, former NFL great, CBS analyst. He'll be working with Bill McAtee covering Sunday's game between the Browns and the Jacksonville Jaguars for CBS. So when we look at the Jaguars now, and you've studied them, rookie quarterback Blaine Gabbert, who seems to be taking a lot of pressure, in fact, surprisingly so, for a guy. I guess it's 21 sacks he's had so far in the seven starts or eight games he's played total, for a guy who has an outstanding runner working with him, with Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yeah, and mojo is the thing that makes that offense go. There's no question. And the Browns are going to have to do a much better job in the run game defense than they have lately. Or, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew is going to run wild. You know, nobody throws the ball against Cleveland too much because, you know, you surrendered 568 yards since October 30th. You know, I mean, that's a bad sign in a three-game losing streak. And unless they can get that fixed, it's going to continue, because Jacksonville will lean on Maurice Jones-Drew as much as they possibly can.
And what do you see from looking at Gabbert, and who has not much in the way of receiving talent? I mean, the most recognizable pass catcher that they have, Mercedes Lewis, is not having the kind of season that anyone expected of him. He's been struggling, and consequently the quarterback's been struggling. I mean, at some point, even though, as you say, Maurice Jones-Drew is the man, and that'll they'll ride him win or lose, I guess, but they're going to ask the rookie quarterback to make some plays, and he's got to have some people to help him make those plays.
Right, exactly. And, you know, Jason Hill and Mike Thomas haven't been getting it done. Mercedes Lewis is a load now, and they also have Zach Potter as a second tight end as well. But Blaine Gabbert, you know, he's a big guy. He's 6'5". You know, he's like 230. He's one of those guys you're seeing in the league now. Strong arm, throws it pretty accurately. He has trouble deciding where to throw it and where he's not supposed to throw it at times. And sometimes in the NFL, the biggest adjustment for these young quarterbacks is knowing that you can throw the football into a window knowing it's going to close pretty quick, and you got to throw it before it's open, and it'll probably be closed after you let it go. So it's a real narrow and small time frame when you have to let the ball loose, and some guys never get to the point where they can pull the trigger. And I think that's where Blaine Gabbert is right now. He rarely throws for over 200 yards, and you know, that leaves them in the same situation as the Browns. You know, it's hard to score points when you can't throw the football effectively.
Steve, when you look at their defense, it really seems like Paul Posluszny, the middle linebacker they picked up, has been making quite a difference for them in the middle.
Yeah, he's been playing really well, and they like their linebacking core. Posluszny, along with Clint Sessions, came over from Indianapolis. Daryl Smith on the other side. they run that 4-3 defense, and they only really have, even on their depth chart, they only have five guys at linebacker listed. But they got a ton of defensive linemen. They run those guys in and out of there. Aaron Campman's been in and out of the lineup with an injury all year. But they do have some good guys down inside. But the linebackers make it go. And Puzlesny is at home at middle linebacker in a 4-3 defense, and that's where he wants to stay. He's really solidified that team. He's got over 100 tackles already in the season, so everything's working exactly like it's supposed to. Those big guys down inside, Terrence Knight and then Tyson Alualu, keep the offensive lineman off Puzlesny, and he runs to the football. And those two guys on the outside are doing a really good job staying athletic in the passing game and also coming up on the screens and draws and run games. So, yeah, I think they love their linebacking core. Their defense has been the strong part of their team, obviously, because of their offensive struggles. But, they're really happy with Paul Puzlesny and when they acquired him from Buffalo.
Steve, tremendous analysis and information, and we appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Vic, thanks for having me on. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, that is Steve Tasker from CBS, former NFL great. He'll be paired with Bill McAtee on the call for Sunday's game between the Browns and Jaguars. We've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.